Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. Today we hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on Ezekiel 17 verses 22 to 24, God's Special Cedar. As Dr. Beakey has explained in the first part, this is an image, the taking and planting of a cedar tree, of the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Dr. Beakey has spoken of its divine planting, so he will also speak of its fruitful promise and its sovereign power. As you listen to this message, may the Spirit give you ears to hear and a heart to believe the words of eternal life.
The twig the Lord cut off, he planted in a high mountain, an elevated mountain. And that mountain, you see, is no doubt the same mountain that Ezekiel speaks about three chapters later in Ezekiel 20, verse 40, where the Lord says, "For in my holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings and the first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things." So Ezekiel's making plain, you see, that the height of that mountain refers especially to the holiness of that mountain. It's not so much that the mountain is elevated visibly to the physical eye, but it's the mountain range upon which the holy temple has been built, God's dwelling place, Mount Zion, in which the city has been built. That is not the highest mountain on earth, as you know. But the height of this mountain refers primarily to its spiritual height. It's visible to the spiritual eye. Or in New Testament language, we can say, this is Jesus Christ and his whole kingdom in the earth. Or in the essence of Psalm 2, verse 6, we can say, as the Lord speaks, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." So then, what does the future hold after all of God's judgments on Judah? Is there any hope for the uprooted vine? The logical answer is no. But Ezekiel says, against all logic, the Lord will intervene and he will reverse Judah's calamities, her failures of the past. So that just as Nebuchadnezzar once installed Zedekiah, so God promises he will install his own vassal, his own servant king, the Lord Jesus Christ on Mount Zion, and that king shall not fail. That king shall establish a kingdom. And so in contrast to the vine that rebelled and would soon wither, the cedar tree, the cedar twig of God's planting will thrive and bear fruit. And that's why you can bear fruit. Because of Jesus. So the cedar twig of God's planting, that's point two, will not become a small, sickly tree, but a goodly cedar manifesting fruitful progress, bringing forth boughs that bear fruit, that provide a place for birds of all kinds to find shade and rest. He will make the impossible possible. And he will bring birds from everywhere, symbolic of people coming to find their rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful picture that is of the worldwide kingdom of Jesus Christ. You know, I grew up in Kalamazoo, as you know, and my brother was a huge bird watcher, and he got almost all the youth group to watch birds, and I got really involved in it too, and we would go to Point Pelee National Park once a year. We'd get 100 different species. That was a good day. 100 different species of birds in one day, in May, warbler season. And I had a lifetime checklist. We had like 400 and some birds. We went different places, and we wanted to get all the birds on the list. We never quite made it, but, oh, there's so many birds. And then in my 20s and 30s or 40s, I started to travel internationally. I said, oh, Oh, man, I thought I saw nearly all the birds. There are all kinds of birds in all kinds of countries that don't resemble the birds in North America. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of different birds to see. Overwhelming. And you see, that's the picture here. The birds come from all nations and lands and peoples. This is the optimistic view of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That little twig becomes just a huge, huge forest full of birds that have come from all over the world, so saved by free grace from every land and tribe and people. And on the day of days, they shall be numberless. A multitude that no man can number. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful Advent text this is. Christ is coming. He has come now. He's coming again. And all the while, He's gathering His people like a flock of birds, numberless flock of birds, to the twig, to the cedar tree, God's special tree. And so how can we bear fruit in the midst of that wonderful tree? Well, with all those birds around us, you see, we seek to take all our lostness, all our nothingness, all our needs. Our hands are tied, our heart is depraved, our will is enmity against God apart from His grace. But because we have God's planting, we are set free. And we can speak to others about Jesus, about God's blessing. And from His strength, from the strength of the cedar tree, we receive nourishment and we go out and proclaim His name. Through our trials and through prosperity, through everything He sends in our lives, we grow and we make fruitful progress, especially through His promises, the promises we heard this morning, and through His sacraments and the promises in the sacraments. We get strength, we get assurance, and we go forward. And we say, Lord, if Thou dost not plant Thy grace within me, I'm lost forever. But Thou hast planted Thy grace within me. And I do trust in Thy promises. And I do rest in Thy righteousness. And I am satisfied with whatever Thou art pleased to give me. Through the twig, through the cedar tree. I'm satisfied with God's planting, with God's way, with God's tender twig, with a lowly Christ child born in Bethlehem's manger, who's now the exalted Lord of Lords. I'm satisfied with the Lord's Savior, with the Lord's King, with the Lord's Prophet, with the Lord's Priest. I rest, I flock to the cedar tree. I find my all in Him. That's the way for fruit. You don't look at great things that you can do or impressive things that you can do. You look at the great and the impressive things that Christ is and that He does. And so when the Holy Spirit lays us low, when He humbles us and empties us and shows us our unworthiness and our misery, then we understand, you see, that there is a lowly King, a child in a manger, a tender twig that fits our needs perfectly and comes below us even when we're at our lowest point. And we say, Lord, I receive Him. I rest in Him. And through Him, I will be replanted, taken out of the first Adam, the hopeless Adam, and replanted in the second Adam. God says, I will take, I will set it, I will crop it off, I will plant it. Not just my son, but I'll take you off of that first Adam, and I'll crop you, and I'll cut you down, and I'll replant you in my son. And especially, I'll do that in the high mountain of Zion. You see, that's God's doing. That's doing, that doing of God is sure. His promises are sure. Jesus Christ, God's goodly cedar, and His kingdom shall never fail. And so verse 23 says, in the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a goodly cedar, and under it shall dwell all food of all fowl of every wing. In the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell. And so now you go out from the Lord's Supper, and you're to find your shadow. You're to find your shade. You're to find your comfort, your rest, your food, your all in this great cedar. When you're persecuted? Yes. When you're in trials? Yes. When you're in prosperity? Yes. Don't stray from this cedar. This cedar has everything you need, you see. And this cedar can meet all your needs. It is more exciting, more colorful, more beautiful, more rich, more full, more luxurious than anything in this world. Anything this world can ever offer you is but boring and blah and dull gray compared to this glorious, fruitful cedar. The twig, God says, shall become a goodly cedar. What a Christ. What a kingdom. What a planting. And what a place to live. When you live in this cedar tree, no, it's not that you won't have any afflictions, but everything will be sanctified. And you'll have purpose and meaning and joy in life and fulfillment. And you'll never have to doubt again if man is just a blob on this earth for no purpose. No, you're part of the kingdom. You're part of that whole picture of the cedar tree with all the birds filling it. You belong. You belong to a better kingdom, a better citizenship than anything on this earth. You come with every kind of color of wing. You come, no matter what color skin you have, no matter what color your background is, you find refuge, salvation, everything in this goodly cedar. Oh, Jesus is so exciting, so rich, so full, gives you everything you need. And he makes you fall in love with him. So you just want to serve him and proclaim him and live unto him. We are our happiest in life when we are our holiest in life. And we are our holiest in life when we are centered upon Jesus. Are you in the cedar tree now? Do you belong to him now? A few years ago, I was flying over Europe. And you know, Europe is very, very barren spiritually, continental Europe especially. And there's a young man with me on the plane. And I began to talk to him, tried to evangelize him. And he looked quite surprised. And then later he said to me, halfway through the flight, he said, "You know, I've never met anyone under 70 years of age who was serious about the Christian faith and ever spoke to me about it in my whole life." And he looked at me like I was a museum piece. Like I was out of date. Like, what in the world? Like we might look at the Amish. That's how he looked at me. He said, "What? Christianity? An option for life? That is so old-fashioned." I said, "Oh, no. Oh, no." I said, "Christ is everything to me. You try him. He'll give you more than this entire world will ever give you. Infinitely more. Infinitely more." Oh, fruitful progress comes not by trying to produce fruit yourself. You'll be severely hampered by the inconsistency of your own life. You'll be beaten back by your own unbelief, your lack of commitment to Christ's bride, the church, your lack of zeal for mission, your pride, your selfishness, your materialism, your worldliness. These things will beat you back. But you make fruitful progress when you go to Christ and complain to Him about yourself, about your little progress, and ask Him to help you, and take refuge in Him, and cling to His promises, and seek for grace to obey Him, to follow Him, and plead with the Lord that He may hasten the day when that Christ may be such a goodly cedar that the whole earth would be filled with His knowledge, even from sea to sea. Oh, then you want to see His kingdom expand, you see. And you want to be part of that expansion. In your own heart, first of all, but also throughout the world. You see, then it's not too much to ask you to come once every other week for an hour of prayer, a corporate prayer. Oh, no, you want to be with the birds in the cedar tree. And you want to cry out to God corporately with each other in your homes, in the church, everywhere. Let's pray for the expansion of the cedar tree. And let's grow by looking to Jesus and living out of the vine, living out of the cedar tree. Finding in Him our nourishment, our life, our joy, our purpose, our meaning, our excitement. Well, there's always place in this cedar tree for one more bird. Will you be that bird? Will you come? With your broken wing, with your tarnished wing, with your colorful wing, with your uncolorful wing, whatever kind of wings you have, will you fly to this tree? The tree invites you, because the tree is a symbol of the gospel, of the Son of God. And don't say, I'm too sinful. You cannot be too sinful to come into this tree. I'm too unworthy. It's impossible. I'm too guilty. Not true. You may exclude yourself, but no one is too bad for this tree. This tree is just a little twig, and it was planted. A fowl of every wing, says our text, came to dwell under the cedar. Come. Come and you will find shade. Come and you will find shade. You'll find rest. You'll find fruit. You'll be satisfied. As hungry sinners, flee for refuge and salvation to the cedar. Feed upon the fruits of Christ. And you will soon exude the fruits of Christ. Because when these fruits become exceedingly precious to you, you will want to be more like Christ. And He will make you more like Him. He's the Advent Savior. He's always ready to receive those who are so fatigued that they do not know where to go. He invites you. He protects you. He provides you safety under His branches. When the wind blows hard, when the rain pours, when the floodwaters run high, you are secure in the branches of this noble, goodly cedar. But not only will you find shade and fruit and rest, but you will find delight. Wonderful delight. Like the bride says in the Song of Solomon, I sat under His shadow with great delight, and His fruit was sweet to my taste. What a glorious tree this is. But all of this is possible because of the sovereign power of the God who planted this tree. It's all because of His nine wills and shalls in this text. All His promises that there will be universal impact outwardly. Kings and nations and statesmen shall come into this tree. By Me, kings rules. I put down one, I set up another. My sovereign power shall prevail. All over the universe, outwardly, but also a universal impact inwardly. Fowls of every wing shall come to Me. They shall be inwardly conquered. As a minister lifts up in Zion, in the courts of God, the glorious name of Jesus, the Advent Savior, as He points to the great noble cedar tree. God lifts up the lowly and puts them in Christ with His sovereign power. And He also shows that universe of power personally to each and every one. How does He do it? Our text says, I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. That's what happens to you when you get saved. You see, then all that is high in you gets put down. And what becomes low in you gets exalted. And everything becomes dry that you've tasted of in the world. And He causes your dry tree to flourish in Him. This is the salvation of our God. He brings you low. He dries you up. He exalts your low tree in Christ. He saves your soul, and He causes you to flourish on the boughs, the branches of the goodly, noble cedar. What a life. What grace. Oh, forsake everything else and flee to this cedar. Remember, the babe in the manger, the twig on Mount Zion, is the King of Kings who has the whole world in His hands. And He will come on the day of judgment. And every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. And so I close with these two applications to you who are not yet in the cedar tree. I counsel you, stop overestimating the power of both Babylon and Egypt, both of which are symbolic of this world, to bring you any happiness, any security. They can't do it. And if you think they can, I say to you, you've become too earthly minded. You're pouring more of your precious time into playing this world's trinkets and toys, its stock markets, worshiping or watching its sport heroes, indulging in its computer games, or living by its consumer reports. Or perhaps preparing for this world's retirement. Always seeking more and more and more from this world's investments while you're neglecting to seriously invest in the world to come, in God's cedar tree. Forgetting that where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. So let me just ask you, where do you find your food, your peace, your rest, your shade? In the world or in Jesus Christ? If you were to die tonight, could you say to your relatives on your deathbed, don't worry about me. I'm in the cedar tree. I'm in Christ. It is well with my soul. And if you can't, my friend, set your house in order, for you will die and not live. You must be born again. You must be prepared to meet the living God. He and His kingdom is the only place to go, the only place to live, the only place to find true happiness. And though that kingdom may appear to you like a little mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds, I say to you, God says it will grow into a great tree in whose branches the birds of the air find shade. And that has happened. Even now in this world, there are millions upon millions upon millions who have found refuge in this tree, and not a single bird has ever been sorry that he has flown into this tree. You won't be the first one. If you find your refuge in this tree, you will find life everlasting. And dear believer, I close with this application to you. Admire the sovereign power of your God and your Savior. Because were it not for that, you never would have come to this tree, would you? He's chosen you. He's drawn you with cords of everlasting life. He showed you who you are. He's made you a low tree, a dry tree in yourself, a tree that you only accounted fit for burning. But then as you expected to burn, He graciously, sovereignly, powerfully raised you up, gave you wings to fly to this tree, and caused you to flourish in the noble cedar for no reason in you. Purely for the cedar's sake. Purely for His love's sake, for His sovereign power. Admire that power. Admire that grace. You are the fig tree that did not perish, even though you were bringing no fruit. But He took you, and He put you in the vine. He put you in the cedar tree. And the sovereign power of your advent, Christ, who's coming on the clouds even now, whose footsteps are heard even now, that sovereign power will be with you all the way to the end. Your noble cedar cannot fail. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I have done it. 9 shells in 3 verses. He will not let you down. If He speaks, the forgiveness of sin is imparted. The tempest is abated. The fig tree is withered. The disease is vanished. The grave gives up its dead. Still today, those who trust His word, His promises, His goodly cedar, who feed on that cedar, who rest in that cedar, who love that cedar, still today, they will know the best of both worlds. Joy, true joy here the world knows not of, and everlasting joy in being married to the exalted Advent Savior forever and ever. Oh, one day, He will take you. Lowly in yourself, but He will exalt you. And on that day, you will be dry no more, but you will flourish forever. You will feed on Christ eternally, whose leaves are given for the healing of the nations. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I have done it. Blessed promise, blessed Advent Savior, blessed sovereign power, soli Deo Gloria. Give Him all the praise. And go out and be fruitful from that cedar tree. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."